Now, the opinion page. Governments, airlines, and aviation authorities around the world are reviewing security after two U.S.-bound packages laced with bombs were shipped from Yemen and intercepted in Dubai and Britain. The White House calls the threat ongoing. On Time.com today, intelligence columnist Robert Baer argues this latest bomb plot may show, quote, signs of a new, more dangerous wave of terrorism. The bombs, he says, are more sophisticated, the terrorists more professional, and Yemen may be the new battlefront against al-Qaeda. If you want to pick Robert Baer's brain on the terror threat in Yemen, call us at 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Robert Baer is a former Middle East CIA field officer. He writes Time.com's intelligence column and joins us on the line from Silverton, Colorado. Welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back.
You wrote that these bombs, you said, have the hallmark of a higher degree of professionalism than we've ever seen come out of al-Qaeda. Now, we should mention that no one has taken responsibility for these bombs. But what does this level of sophistication tell you, possibly, about al-Qaeda in Yemen?
Well, what it reminds me of, this technology goes back to the 80s, and it's an explosive called PETN. It's got what's called a high brisance. It's very lethal, but more than anything, it's malleable. And you can, as we saw in these bombs, you can put it into the ink of a toner cartridge. In the 80s, a Palestinian who devised this method actually rolled PETN, and that's a technical term, and put it in the walls of a Samsonite suitcase. His balla made it look like olives, and so forth. It is the ideal explosive for terrorists.
But if it's been around since the 80s, what's
well, but I've never seen it crisscross with al-Qaeda or Yemen. I mean, it's not something you think about when you come to Yemen. And what I think worries a lot of people that I've talked to is this old technology, which we've never really defeated it, has been picked up by al-Qaeda, possibly in Yemen. This, of course, is an assessment. I wouldn't know that for a fact. But this was a very sophisticated bomb found on these two airplanes.
Now, officials in Qatar, where one of the bombs was intercepted, have been quoted as saying that these hidden bombs were undetectable by X-ray screening or sniffer dogs. Do we have any sense?
Oh, I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, you would have to run them through a nitrogen sniffer. You would have to open up the toner cartridges to really get a good sample. And there's other techniques that are more advanced. And we have to remember that the security in Doha, Qatar, is very, very good. I mean, they've put a lot of money into it. They are on top of all advancements. We're not talking about a third world airport that it slipped through here. These bombs could slip through our airports as well.
That's very worrying. But is that that's not really new?
It's always been worrying. I just was always, you know, it was comforted by the fact that al-Qaeda apparently hadn't picked up this technology. It was pretty much a Palestinian technology which died in the early 90s.
So which leads to the question, who has the expertise to make these? I mean, do you think technology may have been transferred or people are in alliance now that did not used to be?
I suspect it's been transferred. In fact, without getting too much inside baseball, it was called an organization called May 15th. Which was so good at this, and in those days it was using Walkmans as a detonator, and as I said, putting in the inside of suitcases, and they nearly blew up an airplane coming out of Tokyo, killed a young Japanese boy. But if you take this sort of technology and you put it against the skin of an airplane, it will make a hole.
All right, we have a caller, Tim in Louisville, Kentucky. Go right ahead. Hi, Tim. Go right ahead.
Yes, I was wondering, I have two questions, actually. It's, is the terrorists that are coming out of Yemen, is this a more sophisticated branch of al-Qaeda, or are they a different group entirely, and do you think we could see any major military action if they continue?
I think, yes. I mean, look, this bomb on Christmas Day, as I understand, and if there's an explosive expert out there who really knows this stuff can correct me.
And you're talking to the underwear, the so-called underwear bomber back
in. Down. Yeah, the Christmas Day bombing on Northwest would have gone down had this explosive in the detonator been what's called hydroscopic, and it absorbs moisture from this, the Nigerian who was sweating, and otherwise it very well could have gone off. You know, and the fact that Yemen is a fairly, what should I say, it's not an advanced country. That this technology was not developed locally, and the fact that these bombs came out of Yemen rather than Pakistan tells me that maybe the Al-Qaeda has shifted from Pakistan, that maybe we've won the war there, that in between the Pakistanis and us, we've closed them down. And like any good guerrilla group, they've picked up and left and moved to another country.
So I think Tim was also asking about a possible U.S. military action.
It would be tough. You know, the Yemen is a mountainous country. The highest mountain is 12,000 some feet. A lot of valleys. It's a tribally organized. It would be difficult to carry on an air campaign there, and it'd be even more difficult for a land campaign. I'm sure that this very question is being asked in the White House today.
All right, Tim, thanks for that call.
No problem.
So let's step back a bit and learn a little bit more about Yemen. I mean, it's being, you know, put out there as the new front on terror, but it's let's not forget, way back in 2000, we had the bombing of the USS Cole out of Yemen. Give us a history here.
Well, more than that, we have to look at bin Laden. He's of a Yemeni origin, and a lot of the early members of Al-Qaeda came from Yemen. They are it's a very religious society. It's been prone to adopt jihadist causes, and like you said, the Cole was bombed out of there, and that was a sophisticated attack. It was a suicide bomber, a Yemeni. And it's funny that, well, I mean, what happened essentially after 9/11 is that the Al-Qaeda moved into the mountains between Pakistan and Afghanistan. And the war on terror, we uprooted a lot of them, and we have to look at the drone attacks.
U.S. drone attacks on Yemen.
In the tribal areas. I mean, they do work. I mean, these drones can surveil people for days on end, and they can tell who's, you know, from faces and things like that, who are the terrorists. And then we've killed a lot of them. And, I mean, these people aren't stupid. We should never look at them as stupid. And they moved.
You're saying we had drone attacks on Pakistan and Al-Qaeda fled there and moved to Yemen? Is that what you thought?
That is a possibility. I have seen a lot of smart analysts talking about this. This is the new front. But again, intelligence is difficult to get out of the tribes of Yemen. Anwar al-Awlaki, the man behind the Christmas Day bombing, is of Yemeni origin. He's an American. He went back to Yemen and lives in one of these remote areas. And the administration has put essentially a death warrant on him, but hasn't been able to find him.
Even though the U.S. has also, for a while now, been carrying out drone attacks in Yemen.
They've been very limited because of the reaction of the central government. The central government has come to the United States and saying, this will not work. We're going to have a tribal revolt on our hands. Because remember, the drone attacks are not a precise weapon. And if you're going after an individual in a village, you're bound to kill a lot of other people. And so what we're worried about in Yemen is causing tribal feuds.
And there have been, as I understand it, some civilian deaths from these. Is that right?
Oh, there have been a lot of civilian deaths. And then one of the missiles fired at a tribal leader in Yemen killed a deputy governor there, which infuriated the central government.
All right, we're talking about Yemen and the new front on terror. You can pick Robert Baer's brain at 800-989-8255. Is there any sense that Osama bin Laden might be in Yemen?
You know, that's a $64,000 question, what happened to that man. You know, I go back and forth from maybe he's dead and they're manipulating these recordings, that he's still alive, to that he may be protected by a government, or he's gone to Yemen. Why not? I think the chances of him still being alive are pretty good. And he doesn't, you know, we have to look at this. He doesn't need to actually direct this movement. Terrorist movements can be run by cells, following an ideology you can find on the Internet. And what they really lack is the weapons to attack us. And going back to the PETN, I hope it's not true, but maybe they found a weapon.
All right. I think Sue in Norwood, Pennsylvania, was actually calling with a question about bin Laden. Go right ahead, Sue.
Hi. I have been listening to your program today about Yemen, and I am curious to know if Bin Laden would have anything to do with this, and why is he so hard to find?
He's so hard to find because what we are dealing with here are bonds of blood. He has been protected by relatives and believers as well, who truly believe there's a hereafter, and that by fighting the United States and the West, that he's assuring a place in heaven. And it's very difficult for intelligence agencies to break through these beliefs because people really believe it. This isn't the Soviet Union when people stopped believing in communism, and we had hundreds of defectors. Soviet defectors, and our intelligence was pretty good on the Soviet Union.
But if Bin Laden had been killed, wouldn't that get out? I mean, wouldn't that be very hard to contain? Can one assume he's still alive, or not even that?
I assume he's still alive, but he could also have been killed, and Al-Qaeda has covered it up that he's some sort of, living martyr, not a martyr, but he's in hiding, and it's a morale booster for Al-Qaeda to think that he's evaded the United States all these years and that he's still alive. Now, technicians will tell me you can take a digital tape recording and manipulate it to say anything you want. And if only a few people knew that he was killed, they wouldn't talk. But again, I tend to believe that he's still alive.
All right, Sue, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Jeff is in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, was the target of the bombs, were they trying to take down the planes, or were they more aiming to bomb the Jewish synagogues? And then also, it sounds like they must have people that are already here that are picking out the targets, and that's how they got those addresses. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks, Jeff. And Robert Baer, there's an email along these lines. Bill in Yorktown, Virginia asks, how could the bomb makers predict when the bomb would be on an aircraft and which aircraft?
All right. As I understand, you can track UPS packages that will tell you online where they go. And if they were into some sort of software in UPS, which is possible, even in Yemen, you could figure out when those packages were transferred to an airliner, if that was ultimately your target. Now, if it was the Jewish synagogues in Chicago, I don't think the administration quite knows. They're still analyzing the data. You know, and then once the package got to where it was going, you would be able to know that, and you would detonate it with a cell phone.
And do we know whether the intention was to do that on the plane or at the synagogues?
I think the fact that it was addressed to a synagogue, and this is just my personal assessment, I could be very wrong, the target was the synagogue. Otherwise, why put an obvious target like that on the address line, which would attract attention? Now, terrorists are not brilliant. They do make mistakes. It's the technology, again, that scares me, not this particular group.
All right. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. There is some suggestion that the British intelligence service has been very active in Yemen. Do we have an ally there working along with us on this, or what can you tell us about that?
Well, the Yemeni, Yemen's a very complicated country, and Britain has spent more time there. They were there until the early 60s when the Civil War started, and they were forced out of the country. The British have very good Erebus. They understand the tribes. I no doubt the White House is deferring to Britain's opinion on this, to the Foreign Office's opinion on what to do about Yemen, simply because their expertise runs much deeper than ours.
Okay, we have time for one last call. Ed in Berkeley, California. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I find the timing is real fishy for why this happened a weekend before a major election in the United States. And it gets us to the power of fear, how we're using fear to scare the American. Al-Qaeda is loose-knit groups. They really don't more scary than some people in our Bay Area, Oakland, or Richmond. And it's just they make a big deal out of it. And I want you to watch The Power of Nightmares by PBC production by Adam Curtis, and you will see this is total manipulation of the American mind. Al-Qaeda is this group, the bunch of losers, hoodlums, and they cause more damage to Muslims and Arabs than anybody did in whole history.
All right, Ed, thank you so much for the call.
I totally agree with that. I mean, we have, in a sense, we've over-exaggerated the threat of Al-Qaeda just in the sheer number of it. It's a horrible calculation. It's not a threat to you know, the existence of the United States in any sense. We have lived off fear since 9/11, and now we're living off the fear that these people could knock down airplanes. As for the timing, you can only speculate because we don't know who was behind these bombings. Was it to coincide with the American elections to make a pronounced statement in American foreign policy? I can only speculate.
Last quick question, Robert Baer. Yemen's government, are they helping us or hindering us there?
Well, the government's not in complete control of the country. There's vast parts of Yemen that don't even pay allegiance to Sana'a or the president. I mean, the president would probably like to go into these areas and take control of them, but he can't.
All right. So that's are there efforts, I imagine, underway to try and improve that?
Well, there's only so much you can do. There's not an easy answer to any of this. I mean, the entire Middle East is going through a political process which we cannot control. And you just have to hope for the best. And we just have to hope that Al-Qaeda, as your last listener said, remains a bunch of losers. And the fact is they have killed more Muslims than they have Americans.
Robert Baer is a former Middle East CIA field officer. He wrote Bomb Plot Analysis, Al-Qaeda in Yemen Becoming More Lethal for Time.com. There's a link at our site, npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. He joined us on the line from Silverton, Colorado. Thank you, Robert Baer.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, a sampling of the more interesting ballot measures up for a vote in this election, from pot to property taxes, plus the best political movies of all time. Neil Conan will be back for that. I'm Jennifer Ludden. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.